Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'd like to say thank you for being here in attendance, either online or here in person at Webster UMC, where God is good all the time. Amen. And my first God sighting is that beautiful piece that Diane just played. We appreciate that. So yes, we did have a tune change, and I didn't know it until the last minute. And so anyhow, that was called Trumpet on Air.
Trumpet Air.
So thank you for that beautiful piece. So this comes the time where we are going to do our announcements and God sightings. Do we have any God sightings that we would like to share in church today?
Well, the recovery of the mountains from the drought is a God sighting.
It sure is. Do we have any other God sightings that we would like to share this today? I understand that Brianna has had some property cleared. So she's really happy to have some of that acreage cleared off where she can actually see her driveway and pull out now. That's good. Yes, Mike.
For all the mothers, sons, and daughters who are here today.
Amen. Definitely. I have a God sighting. We have a special visitor with us today, Miss Reverend Beth Christman. She's our district superintendent, and she's making her rounds, so please make her feel welcome. I've already invited her to stay after and get fat and sassy with the rest of us. We've got some goodies. We'll make goodies and some coffee. And also, please stay at the end of the service, because BJ will be handing out flowers to all of the women. So make sure that you hang around to at least get your flower. Just a few announcements. We will have our SPRC meeting this Tuesday at 12:15. And we also have our annual conference coming up. And the fifth Sunday sing, which I'm really excited about. We're going to have that. There will be a multitude of instruments, voices, and scripture all tied into that. So make sure you share with that with everyone on Facebook or on our official church webpage, and let everyone know about what we're going to have with that special worship service. Do we have any other announcements or God sightings this morning? Okay, then let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and loving God, as the morning light breaks across the earth, Lord, I ask that you waken our hearts to your presence. Fill this place with your peace, your joy, and your spirit. Open our ears that we may hear your word. Open our minds that we may receive your truth. And open our hearts to offer you our praise. Almighty God, I ask that you please bless this time of worship. Unite us in love and draw us closer to you and to one another. And may all that we say and do this morning bring glory to your holy name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I'm going to ask you to turn to your Bibles and read Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 7, as Miss Diane brings us to focus on the Lord.
Thank you.
will now ask that you would please turn to page 111. And some of y'all will say, I don't know this song, but you really do. This follows the tune of This Is My Father's World. And we will do the first three verses. This is called How Can We Name Love? Please stand if you're able. O God, how vast is the sum of them.
If I would count them, they are more than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you.
Know that it can be really frustrating and aggravating. So let's just pray for Duke Power Company that we get that restored pretty soon. Do we have any other prayer concerns that we would like to lift up today? Yes, Ken.
My daughter, Lindsay.
Okay. That's Lindsay, right? Okay. Do we have any other prayer concerns that we need to lift up? Okay, y'all are being crickets today on to me, but that's okay. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Holy and gracious God, you are the one who holds all things together. Our breath, our days, our hopes, and our future. Before anything was, you were God. And in every moment we face, you remain faithful. We pause now to acknowledge your presence in our lives. You have guided us, sustained us, corrected us, and loved us with a love that does not let go. Lord, we lift up before you today our community, the people who live beside us, work among us, and share life with us. Strengthen the weary and comfort the lonely. Provide for the struggling and stir compassion within us that we may be instruments of your peace right where you have planted us. We pray for your church, this congregation, and the church everywhere. Make us bold in love, generous in grace, and steadfast in your truth. Heal divisions, renew our purpose, and empower us to be a light in a world that desperately needs hope. Father, we remember those who are sick today, in body, mind, or spirit. And we lift up Bonnie and Lindsay, and those who remain on our hearts that were not mentioned. Stretch out your healing hand, Father. Bring relief to those in pain, peace to those who are in fear, and rest to those who are exhausted. Surround the caregivers with strength and wisdom, and remind every hurting heart that they are not alone. And God, we pray for our country. Guide our leaders with humility and discernment. Heal what is broken, restore what is wounded, and draw us toward justice, mercy, and unity. Make us a people who seek the common good and who will reflect your heart in how we live together. Lord, for all of these things, spoken and unspoken, we trust in your goodness. And now with one voice and one spirit, we join together in the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'll ask that Miss Sonia please join me at the table. Please look inside your bulletin where we have our offertory prayer. The congregation will respond in full. Lord, as we prepare to come to bring gifts to your table, we remember the mothers and mother figures whose grace, patience, and steadfast love have reflected your own. May these gifts extend the same compassion into your community and become a blessing beyond these walls. We give with grateful hearts for the love that has shaped us and the faith that has sustained us. Receive our offering, O God, and make us instruments of your care in the world. from Proverbs 31, verses 1 through 9. And Miss Fitz will be our liturgist representing the mother today. And also from Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31, Mr. Kent Davis will be reading as the son.
The sayings of King Lemuel. The sayings of King Lemuel, an inspired utterance, his mother taught him. Listen, my son. Listen, son of my womb. Listen, my son, the answer to my prayers. Do not spend your strength on women, your vigor on those who bring kings. It is not for kings, Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, and not for rulers to drink beer, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed, and deprive all the oppressed of their rights. Let beer be for those who are perishing, and wine for those who are in anguish. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy.
A good wife who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it's yet night and provides food for the household and tasks for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. She girds her loins with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes herself coverings. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers girdles to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates.
This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So a couple of days ago, I had a friend that came by and said, "Patty, you've got to use this story in your sermon." And I says, "I don't think I could find a place for this in my sermon." "Oh no, you've got to use this." And I says, "Okay, what is it?" "Did you hear about the one about the fisherman who put an ad in the paper looking for a wife?" I don't think so. "Well, this is what it said. Fisherman, wife wanted. Must be able to dig and gather fish bait. Able to clean fish and cook fish. Must have her own boat and motor and free title. Please send picture." That is a picture of the boat. Right? So this criteria set for a woman, I don't know, for me, is kind of set at a very low bar, right? But today's message, we're going to find that the bar is really set high for women. So when I was struggling with the title for this message, I put in the shadows, a mother's wisdom is spoken. And then I just shortened it for the bulletin because I didn't really want to type it all. But so it's a mother's wisdom, okay? So when we open Proverbs 31, we're stepping into this royal household. It's not a palace of luxury, but it's a place where wisdom has been passed down with intention. The passage begins with the words, "The sayings of King Lemuel." An oracle his mother taught him. Now, Lemuel is a mysterious figure in Scripture. His name means belonging to God. And scholars have long debated whether he was an Israelite king, a foreign ruler, or even a poetic nickname for Solomon. We just really don't know, but that's not important. What we do know in this section of Proverbs was part of the wisdom tradition. And it was used to shape its leaders. And it was spoken by a queen mother whose voice carried tenderness and authority. And we all know those mother's eyes when they give you that look. So there's your authority. Her words were considered so valuable that they were actually preserved, memorized, and eventually placed at the very end of the book of Proverbs. It's kind of the crown jewel of biblical wisdom that we want to share. This poem about a woman of valor was probably written somewhere between the 10th and the 7th century, during a time when Israel was actually collecting and gathering and arranging all of their wisdom literature. It reflects a world where women were not confined to the home, but were active in business and agriculture, trade, and community leadership. It reflects a mother's desire to teach her son, a future king, how to recognize and honor and bless the kind of woman that showed that her life radiated the presence of God. Before this passage ever encouraged women, guess what, guys? It instructed men. It was telling men what they should expect from a woman. It revealed this idea, this revealed a heart of a woman, a mother shaping a king, and through him, shaping future generations. Now, ladies, when we read this passage, we could be led to believe that they're expecting superwomen. Women in capes who fly through the sky, who jump buildings with a single bound. But however, we learn that Proverbs 31 is actually the embodiment of wisdom. If we spend enough time watching women through the world, we begin to notice that it always doesn't make it into the headlines or the history books. It's that quiet strength that shows up in the middle of ordinary days. The kind that doesn't ask for applause or pat on the back, but somehow is holding their entire family together, workplaces and communities. It's the kind of strength that doesn't announce itself. But if it ever disappeared, guess what? The world would miss it. I saw it once in an airport terminal, one of those long, echoing spaces where everyone is rushing to and fro, could care less about anyone else around them. Everyone is trying to take care of their thing. And a young mother stood at gate C14, this is over in Atlanta Airport, trying to juggle a toddler who has reached the end of his patience. A stroller that has refused to cooperate. We know this, moms. And a diaper bag that looks like it has just survived a natural disaster. Her hair was pulled back in a way that said she had not slept. Her eyes carried the familiar mixture of love and exhaustion that so many mothers know well. And people kept walking around her, irritated by the noise. Annoyed by the delay, eager to get where they were going. But then, here stood this beautiful, gray-haired lady. Silver hair, soft eyes, and the kind of presence that when she walks in a room, it just becomes calm. She steps out of the crowd. She did not offer any advice. She didn't judge the lady. She said simply, "Here, sweetheart, let me hold him while you get yourself together." Now, the young mother looked kind of hesitant to Liette. This lady is like, "Well, should I or shouldn't I?" But she reached out. Something this older woman has done over 1,000 times. And she takes the child, and she holds it, and she starts to sway. And she hums a familiar tune, probably known for generations. And slowly the toddler's cries softened. The mother exhaled. It came from somewhere deep inside the soul, that kind that only happens when someone steps into your chaos with gentleness and patience. When it was time to board, the young mother whispered to the lady, and she says, "You know what? You saved me today." And the older woman, she just smiled and said, "Honey, this is what we do. As women, we lift up each other." And in that moment, in the middle of a crowded airport, I saw Proverbs 31 come alive. Not a list of tasks, not as an apostle standard, but a portrait of a woman whose strength and dignity flowed naturally from who she is and who God had shaped her to be. It wasn't loud. It wasn't dramatic. It was simply a holy moment. When Proverbs 31 describes a woman clothed with strength and dignity, it isn't talking about a woman who has everything under control. How many of y'all know a woman that has got her act together and everything is under control? Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of heads. The Hebrew word for strength is ooz. Now, some of the Southerners, we may say it's oz, but it is ooz. And it carries this idea of resilience. Strength that has been tested, strength that has learned to bend without breaking. It's this kind of inner strength that grows in the soil of real life, not in ideal circumstances. It's about this dignity. It isn't about elegance or perfection. It's about a life that carries a weight, a life that has substance, a life that reflects the presence of God. It's about a life that I know most of you women have gone through that has been forged in fire and comes out even stronger. This woman isn't strong because her life is easy. She's strong because her life is anchored in something deeper. Amen? And then the text says something remarkable. And I love this passage. She laughs at the days to come. It's almost like she's mocking. Go ahead, I dare you. She is drawing the line in the sand. Go ahead. Her confidence isn't rooted in the circumstances. It's rooted in trust. She knows what is coming, but she also knows who is coming with her, who is walking alongside of her when those problems jump up in her face. When she speaks, her words carry wisdom. Not the kind that you can just find in books alone. Not anything like that. It's woman in the way she moves through the world. It's the kind of kindness that she shows that does not need recognition because it flows from her heart that has been shaped by God. Now, by the time we reach the end of this passage, her children rise up. Not because she was perfect, but because her life left a mark on them. Her husband praises her, not because she never made mistakes, but because her faithfulness shaped the whole atmosphere of their home. And the community honors her, not because she sought recognition, but because her life quietly changed theirs. Now, earlier in the poem, when we see verse 11, it says, the heart of her husband trusts in her, reminding her strength creates security, stability, and peace for the people who walk through life beside her. Now, verse 30, the author actually brings us all into focus. He says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised, not a woman who performs, not a woman who impresses, but a woman who trusts. Now, before I go any further, I want to speak to the men in the church. Me and you have not been forgotten. Because this passage was actually spoken to a man. A mother who is sitting with her son. A future king. This is the kind of woman you honor. This is the kind of woman that I want you to bless. This is the kind of woman who will stand beside you with gratitude. So men, this passage is not asking you to sit quietly on the sidelines. You are being called in to play this game, to take care of women. It's inviting you into the story. It's asking you to remember the women who have shaped you. The mother who has prayed for you. The grandmother who has steadied you. It is called the mother who has prayed for you. The grandmother. We all look at all of these different women. The wife who has stood beside you during the most challenging times. She was there for you. We all have had women that have stood beside us. It's not just the mother, but it is about the women in our lives who have guided us, built us up. Is it about a sister, an aunt, a cousin, a teacher, a friend? Anyone who has been there will lift you up. Those are the women who have shaped you. When we look at the life of Jesus, we see that same heart that the mother is asked in this future king to have. He notices the women. He notices the women in the world all around them. He calls them by name. And Bible study students, he also calls them daughter. Remember that. So this passage is calling men today to be that kind of man who sees the worth that God has placed in the women around you. The kind of man who speaks blessings instead of criticism. The kind of man who protects dignity, who encourages strength, who recognizes wisdom when he hears it. The kind of man who stands at the city gates, just like this passage describes, and says, I honor this woman that God has placed in my life. You see, because when men and women walk in this kind of mutual honor and respect, something holy happens. Homes change. Marriages deepen. Children grow up surrounded by blessings. Communities become healthier. And the beauty of God is reflected in the way we treat one another. Now in verse 20, Proverbs tells us that the Proverbs 31 woman opens her hands to the poor because true wisdom is always noticing people who are in pain or who are hurting. Now I'm reminded of a woman who works a night shift in the next county over in a small hospital. She isn't a nurse or a doctor. She's a friend of mine. She's a custodian. Every night while most of the world sleeps, she moves through dim hallways with a cart full of cleaning supplies and a heart full of prayer. She knows the nurses by name. She knows which families are waiting for the news. She knows which rooms will hold joy and which ones will hold sorrow. And though her job description does not include ministry, she carries it with her everywhere. Praise God for that. One night, a young father sat alone in the hallway, right outside the operating room. His wife had just gone into emergency surgery, and fear had settled over this gentleman like a blanket. The custodian noticed him as she passed by. She didn't try to fix anything. She didn't offer the cliches that most people try to offer to try to make someone feel good, and it really does not. She just simply stopped. She placed a gentle hand on his shoulder, and she says, "I don't know what you're facing, but I'm going to pray for you right now." That's ministry. And she prayed this quiet prayer, steady, sincere, and full of faith. Hours later, when the surgery was successful, the young father went looking for her. Where is she? Where is this cleaning lady that I talked to? And when he found her, he says, "You know what? You were the only person. You were the only person who saw me tonight." And she smiled and she said, "No, God sees you. I just happened to walk by." That is Proverbs 31. Strength that doesn't need a spotlight. Wisdom that shows up in a hallway at midnight. Dignity that moves through the world with compassion. A life that honors God in the places that most people overlook. When women today hear Proverbs 31, many instinctively brace themselves, right? It's not a passage that's being handed to them with another list of expectations that they're already struggling to meet. But when we sit with the text, when we sit with the text long enough, something different begins to emerge. We start to see a woman who looks far more like the women we know today. Women who carry families through seasons of uncertainty, who navigate work and home and aged parents and unexpected crisis with this kind of quiet determination that rarely makes the headlines. We see the woman who gets up before dawn because her house needs her. We see the woman who goes to work even when her heart is so heavy. We see the woman who keeps praying for her child who has lost their way. We see the woman who holds her family together during a medical diagnosis or a job loss. We see the woman who doesn't feel strong, but somehow keeps finding strength that she did not know she had. And suddenly, Proverbs 31 starts feeling like this measuring stick. It starts feeling like this mirror. Not a mirror that exposes our flaws, but one that reveals the sacred weight of women every single day, that sacred weight that they carry. It is a passage that recognizes the courage it takes to love people well when sometimes they do not want to be loved. It's that wisdom that grows from walking with God through real life and that dignity that settles on a woman who has learned to trust God with both her joys and her sorrows. You see, the text doesn't ask today's woman to become someone else. Thank goodness for that. It simply names the beauty of who she already is, but you just don't see it sometimes. When I think about the woman represented in this passage, I think about all of the women I have known. Women whose strength that did not always look like confidence, but often looked like perseverance. Women whose dignity was not wrapped in perfection, but in a way they kept showing up with love. Women whose wisdom was shaped not by ease, but by the long, winding road of faith. Some of them never thought of themselves as strong. Some of them never probably felt particularly wise. Some of them wondered if anyone even noticed what they were doing as they were pouring themselves into their families, their communities, and their churches. But if you watch long enough, we can see the fingerprints of God all over them. And that is what Proverbs 31 is ultimately doing. It is pausing long enough to say, wow, look at her. That is what God is doing. God is shaping her. Look how she carries God's love with her. Look at the way his presence has woven itself into her strength, her words, her work, and her love. It's scripture standing up at heaven's gate and giving honor where honor is due. So as we close, I want to invite every woman and even the men who support the women. I want you to listen. Take a deep breath. Do this with me. And let it go. Just let it go. The noise has fallen away. Let the pressure that's on you today, for at least a day, loosen its grip on you. And hear the truth that's been echoing through this passage for centuries. God sees you. God sees you. God delights in the way you carry what he is entrusted to you. And the story of your life, with all of its complexity and the courage and grace, it is worthy of honor. Happy Mother's Day, and God bless. So I am going to ask, if you can, please stand. I'll try not to keep you down sitting too long. We're going to turn to page 130 in your hymnals. And we will do all four verses, Diane. Is that good? Okay, all four verses.
Thank you.
she has requested that she could come up and do this. She wants to give everyone a flower. So please receive these flowers as she is doing that. Go ahead, BJ. And then I'll do the benediction. Do you have anything you want to say to the ladies?
All the ladies get a carnation, whether it's a white one or a red one.
Do you want me to help you hand them out for you?
This one goes to you.
Okay, thank you. She's very particular about who's get what color flower. I don't know what they are, but she has a reason behind them.
Okay.
So we're gonna hand out, go ahead and give all the other ladies their carnations. And as you are doing that, we'll go ahead and...
all the rest of them can just pick their kind of...
Okay, that is fine. All right, so let us continue with the benediction. May the God who weaves every thread of our lives fill you with courage for the days ahead, hope for every tomorrow, and joy in every moment of grace. Go forth assured that you are cherished, empowered, and held in everlasting love. Amen. Some coffee and some cake.